Hello, and welcome to the Weekly Comic Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayer. In this episode, we'll be discussing recently released comics. One from DC, one from Marvel, and at least one other. As always, we'll keep major spoilers to a minimum, but we'll discuss general plot points and storylines of the comics we review. This is Weekly Comics Spotlight number 619 for comics originally released on June 19th, 2019. Now, starting us off in DC is Justice League number 26. Now, we did this one of, I don't know, 8-ish issues ago, thereabouts?
Yeah, something about that like that.
Something like that, but there's a lot going on in this title.
Tons going on.
And I'll be honest, when I saw this cover, I'm like, you know, The Will Payton Starman is actually my favorite Starman.
Okay.
I just really like the series they did in, I forget if it was the 80s or the 90s. I think it was, anyways. Really fun series, cool character. So when I saw The Death of Starman, ! I'm like, man, I hope they don't kill him off.
Yeah.
And honestly, it turns out not really much happened with that character at all in this issue. I think he was there in on a page.
Yeah, it just there and nothing happened that I noticed, nothing big.
This is one of those issues that to me is kind of one of those setting up the chess pieces kind of issues, where they're moving things around and prepping to do things.
Yeah, this is the total setup for the big event in DC, which I guess will be next month, I'm assuming, which will be the Villains Rising, or I can't remember what it's called.
Well, there's Year of the Villain.
Year of the Villain? Is that what it's called? Year of the Villain, yeah.
Not to be confused with the other event, the actual event of Event Leviathan.
Yep.
Not to be confused with the recently ended Heroes in Crisis.
Yes.
Not to be confused with the other event that's been going on of Doomsday Clock.
And not to mention that Scott Snyder has said every issue of this after 25 is an event, so we have multiple events.
Yeah, well, maybe the ones after this, but this was not a bad issue. What it was, man, it was mostly set up, not really a lot of payoff.
That's what I felt completely. I mean, like you said, it wasn't bad, but it felt like it was just setting up for the next thing to happen.
If you like cameos, man, this is the issue for you.
Oh, yeah. I would agree with that.
I mean, just on the first page, we get a cameo by Vixen, Batwoman, Green Arrow. If there was somebody in that last panel, I missed it. And then, you know, the art here, I gotta talk about, because Javier Fernandez, not doing a bad job.
Yeah.
But not doing a brilliant job either.
My notes, and I'm reading verbatim on my notes, art downgraded after issue number 25. Yeah, there's a big drop-off on the art quality here.
For me, where it really stood out was we get a two-page splash in the House of Heroes.
Yes.
And this is one of the few times we see this many kind of multiversal heroes, and man, the art is sketchy at best.
Yeah, it's not good. I was kind of surprised because it seemed like they had the top tier artist on this thing from the jump, and this, I guess maybe they're moving the bigger artists over to the actual event books, and since this one's kind of like a setting the pieces, they just kind of, maybe he did a one-off. I just don't know.
I don't know, but this would have been like an amazing two-page splash if it had been by the likes of George Perez or Phil Jimenez or some of these just crazy detailed, see how many characters we can cram in there kind of artists.
Yeah. Now, a quick question on the House of Heroes, since this is kind of like my first view of it. Is it supposed to look like the Death Star?
Well, it's looked like a couple of different things. It's that look actually reminded me of the Monitor's satellite or whatever from Crisis Infinite Earths.
Maybe that's what it is. I just looked in and I just saw that big round thing in there. I'm like, man, did they totally rip off the Death Star here? What's going on?
It does look like that, but when we see Harbinger there as kind of the greeter or whatever.
Yes.
It's like, again, they're making the callbacks. I don't know, it was just kind of frustrating because when we got some of these other characters, we get, you know, a cameo by the Flash from Kingdom Come. Yeah. We get Captain Carrot, and man, the perspective on that? How tall is this guy?
Yeah, he looks about 15 feet tall.
That one just threw me a bit.
Yeah, the guy's head literally comes to his belt line.
if that, I think with the perspective, it may be a little below that, which is wrong in and of itself.
That's a little disturbing.
But man, when we get to the 2-page splash and we get, it's like, I think one of these characters is from the Tangent universe, a couple of the others, it really looked like they went through the multiverse guidebook, saw the character groups and just said, well, we'll just kind of sketch them in there, here and there.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. It was kind of cool seeing all the different characters and how they're a little bit different, but the drawing was definitely not the best I've seen.
Yeah, I was just disappointed. And again, we get tons of cool cameos, which is fun. I just hope we get some follow-up on them.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, because there's so much build-up here, and I guess this is going to be bringing in a lot of people, just tons and tons of people and tons of characters that haven't been in the Mutant Justice League for this big event. And it's going to be cool just to see how they incorporate him, or if they're just going to be little, you know, background characters. Who knows?
Well, and that's my concern. I saw this, and my concern was that they were going to be... I mean, if they brought in a couple of more characters... Well, and I guess later on they do, because, I mean, we get Vixen, we get Green Arrow, we get a bunch of others that are cameos here. But when we get to this multiversal section, I'm not really convinced we're going to see these characters much again. I hope I'm wrong on that.
Yeah, because that was kind of like the premise of this, is that they're kind of there on a recruiting trip.
Which didn't make sense to me, because when they say, oh, we need everybody or whatever, cool, bring in all the people from your world. But here, they basically say, hey, we're going to need your help, but I know you're going to be busy on your worlds.
Yeah, so how are you going to help us?
It was confusing.
Yeah, very much so. That was kind of weird. And then the Forger gives his speech to him, and he says, we need to find the Monitor and Anti-Monitor. So I guess all the characters are going to be coming forth.
I hope. I'm wondering if they're building up to a riff on a Crisis on Infinite Earths sort of thing, which I kind of hope.
That's what it feels like.
We know there's talk of another group of characters showing up later in this title, which I'm looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know where they're going with this. And the run so far has been good, but it feels like they're just tossing out cool ideas without really exploring a lot of them.
That's been the whole premise of the Justice League thing. They've come out with some amazing ideas and cool stuff, but maybe half of them stick, or they do something with it. Like when the Forces came out, it just went into the Flash book. When the ultraviolet light for the Green Lanterns came out, we've never seen that other than that one issue. It's gone. I don't know how many of these things are going to stick around and how many are just going to, you know, go to the wayside until some obscure writer 20 years from now goes back and references this for those of us who have the memory.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's part of my concern.
Yeah. So I'm hoping for the best. So it feels like it's going to be a big thing. It feels like they're trying to make this like a crisis level, really crisis type title.
I hope so. I hope so. And I like using the Justice League title as that kind of event level thing.
Yeah.
It just seems like there's a couple of things where, again, they're tossing ideas out. Will they explore them? Will they not? I don't know. And it just seems like a couple of things are here almost as just Easter eggs.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. Now, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, the question I had is when we talk about the monitors and we got to find them and stuff, when you flip to the next page there.
Okay.
Am I the only one that was hearing "Meanwhile at the Hall of Justice" from the Super Friends cartoon?
Oh yeah, they just write "Meanwhile," but yeah, you need to have it.
Because I mean, we get a clear shot of the Hall of Justice. All they need was the @ sign, and they're done.
Exactly. They need to just change that little star to the @. Put a word up there.
So I mean, when we hit the walking tour, and it just, you know, cameo after cameo after cameo.
Everyone, yeah.
Either this pays off or it doesn't, and to me, that's going to impact not the enjoyability of this issue, but the relevance of this issue.
Exactly. You're seeing a lot of characters that are popping up, and I didn't know what to make of it, because it's just things we haven't seen, so it could be very cool, or it could just be stuff that they did for whatever reason to throw you off the trail of what they're really doing. Who knows?
Yeah.
Did you like the way this ended, with who it was and stuff?
The who it was... It's funny because the character is familiar, but this is going back to, you know, it might even be the issue we reviewed a while back.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah, it's been a good couple of months. I think it was early this year. I think it was back in March or whatever.
Okay.
And I was trying to remember, you know, because this seemed to reference that issue. What exactly happened in there again? It's been a little while. I'm a little foggy on the details.
Yeah. I was trying to remember. I was struggling.
And for this to be kind of the ending reveal, and I'm like, if there hadn't been the first speech bubble there to kind of clarify the reveal, I'd have been, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, I my first thought would have been like, who in the hell is that? Because thank God he said that, and I was like, okay, yeah, and then I remembered. I was like, just because not having that much exposure, just looking at someone, I'm not going to know.
Well, this is one of those things where if they had a little caption of, you know, hey, remember this from this issue or whatever, or
something.
If there'd been something earlier on to reset our memory, to jog our memory or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Especially since it's been strung out over, I'm assuming, you know, a year, you know. That's a lot to remember. You know, my memory gets worse with the more and more that I read. It seems like it's getting worse and worse as I get older.
Same here. And for me, there's the conflicting versions of the continuity at DC to kind of keep straight. And in this particular issue, when they had tossed out so many other things, it and that's not unusual in this title, they've got so much going on, it's hard to remember where a specific plot thread left off.
Yeah. Hey, now, not to sidetrack this too much, but have you heard about, it's not really a secret, but the announcement of what the group that's coming out in Action, or I guess in Superman or Action Comics, one of the two, with Bendis?
I had not heard there, but I've heard talk of some upcoming stuff over in Young Justice.
Okay. There was just a big podcast with John Sutras, mm-hmm. Word Balloon, where he interviewed Bendis, and one of your favorite groups is coming back, basically.
That I'd heard about. I didn't realize it was going to be there. I thought they were going to do a two-issue miniseries before kicking off a team title.
Yeah, I think Bendis is going to have some input into that, but I wonder if they're going to show up in this thing. I wonder if they'll somehow tie into this. I would imagine they would.
I certainly hope so, and it's funny because some of the stuff that was sprinkled throughout this issue, just as cameos, it looks like Bendis is going to be playing with elsewhere, too.
Yeah, I agree. So, I mean, it's kind of cool, and did you get the, basically, by the way that they showed Martian Manhunter, you know, on the second page, or actually even the first page and the second page, and kind of almost like a deity looking over the planet, do you see him falling on the wrong side of this argument pretty shortly?
No.
No, I didn't know. I kind of wondered. I was guessing. I was like, I wonder if he's going to... You know, it's just kind of weird.
I took that as the same kind of shot we'd occasionally get with Superman as he's getting up that high to where he can, you know, use his supervision and superhearing to just kind of scam what's going on.
Okay, cool. All right, I might be reading too much into it, but I'm interested to see how this event all plays out. But you're on board for this event, right? Or not?
Well, for the Justice League stuff, yeah. For Year of the Villain... I'm not sure I'm going to get all of it. Certainly I'm not getting all the crossover issues here and there. Some of the one shots I'm getting, I'm not sure if I've been getting them all so far or not. But I'm taking it, you know, case by case.
Okay. Yeah. I was just wondering, you know, like, War of the Realms, you're like, this is, you know, kind of annoying, but I didn't know if it was like you were going to go out there and follow the whole path or anything.
I'm a little more open to it because the Asgardian stuff, isn't that big of a thing for me.
Okay.
Mainstream villains in the mainstream DC universe is a bit more of a appeal to me. But even then, there's some of them I'm looking at and saying, you know, I'm considering each one, like I said, individually.
It makes sense. It makes perfect sense, actually. So,
yeah, I mean, in some of the stuff I know I'm not getting because I've dropped some of the other titles.
Yeah. Hey, now, another thing I was going to tell you about this event. Okay, so Superman's given the speech to all these people, you know, all the different multiverses, you know, their counterparts.
Mm-hmm.
And the speech is basically, we have screwed up the multiverse. You need to help us. I can just imagine what my response would be to that.
Yeah, it began in our thing, but it's going to impact you all. He didn't even apologize.
Yeah, we screwed up the source wall. You need to help us. It's like, yeah, it shouldn't have been a little more humble.
The fact that there was no group that was kind of, geez, come on, guys.
Yeah.
That was a little disappointing.
That's what I was expecting. I was expecting someone to say, are you kidding me? You screw up the source wall and now it's affecting us? You know, what a moron. Something like that.
Well, really, the only person who speaks up other than Worldforger is another Superman basically saying, how can we help?
Exactly.
Which is a very Superman thing to say.
Yes. So that was a one disappointing thing for me. So I was like, I was just thinking it would go down a little bit different if someone said that to me.
Yeah. I do think they missed an opportunity for another group, like I said, to basically, hey, you messed it up, you fix it. We'll protect our world, but don't let this happen again.
Exactly. Something along that line.
And the funny thing is, they had the perfect group to do that.
Yeah.
If you look at the two-page splash, the group behind Superman is basically the world of Marvel characters.
Oh, that's who that is.
Because you've got the Spider-Man type, you've got the Captain America type, the Hawkeye type, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. There it is. Holy mackerel. How did I miss that? I was looking at the big-headed guy.
So
if
you've got one of them, basically, you know, hey, we'll take care of our own. Leave us out of this mess. Kind of, you know, hey, we're Marvel, we're not part of it.
That would have been awesome.
It would have been funny. They could have done that, I think, in a couple of ways.
Oh, that would have been really cool.
So, I liked this issue. I didn't love this issue.
That's where I was. I liked it because it's of what it's setting up, and I've been reading the whole thing. This issue was not the best of it, of the run.
Yeah, and for me, it was almost some of the cameos and stuff like that, other than the, I was going to say the plot of the issue, but really there wasn't a strong plot in the issue.
Yeah, it's true. It's literally setting up the chessboard, setting up the pieces, you know, setting the table before the big event. And when the big event comes, we will be glad that all the pieces are where they need to be. And we won't question, hey, why are they doing this? Or why are these people showing up? That doesn't make any sense.
I will question, though, if a lot of the things that are tossed out here aren't used.
Yeah. Then what was the purpose of it?
Which exactly.
Is, hey, and Tiny and Snyder have thrown out a lot of stuff that they haven't used, so I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah. For me, I'm going to go with a B- on this. I think overall, like I said, it was a decent issue, a lot of setup, but first part of an arc. I'm fine with that. I would have liked better art on this issue.
Yeah. Sometimes I laugh because we're very in sync on things. And I'm reading the last line of my notes. I put them in Notepad now instead of scribbling down handwritten notes. And it says, okay, issue, B-, art downgraded after issue 25. So literally the B-. So we're in agreement there.
Cool. Shall we go on to our Marvel book?
Yes.
This is Wolverine and the Infinity Watch number 5. This concludes this series. And I question a few things about this title.
All right.
Specifically, Wolverine getting top billing.
Yes, I agree.
And where the hell was the rest of the Infinity Watch?
Yes, I agree.
This was Wolverine, Loki, and this new character of Overtime.
Yeah.
And I felt it was more Overtime's story than Wolverine's, certainly in this issue, and I'd say generally overall.
Exactly. And right from the jump, you're like, why is Wolverine part of the Infinity Watch? Why is he going after the stones? It just, whatever. But yeah, it turned into his story, this new character.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up looking like Green Lantern.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. I thought how he got his costume was a little strange.
That was completely bizarre. That's probably the last thing I would do.
I want to know a little more about the previous owner and why he happened to wear a costume that was ironically, appropriately-ish themed for Overtime.
Yeah, a purple-ish. And my first thing, by the way, if I find a body, you find a body just laying around, and I'm already wearing a nice set of jeans and a t-shirt, my first thing is I don't want to snatch the costume off this guy and put it on. That's disgusting.
It's armor.
It's armor. Okay.
So presumably it's better than the t-shirt and jeans he's got.
Yes, I guess so. It was just so weird. I was just like, I would not want to snatch it off. That's just weird. And it was a perfect fit.
Yes, that was weird too. I don't know. That whole bit, you got to get him a costume somehow. This is not the worst way to give somebody a costume, but it's close.
It's close. It's up there. It's one of the rough ones. I on my second read, I was like, that's so weird. Once again, that's so weird.
Mm-hmm.
But there were some things in here that made me laugh, and then some things in here that just I was like, well, why am I reading this? Those were the two feelings I had.
Yeah, there were parts of this I thought were entertaining, but there were also parts of it where, you know, it took too long to get to this point. And there were certain aspects of, like, the setup at the front of this with Talonar and his ship and the attack of the other guy and stuff like that, that were just kind of there to move the story along, kind of, sort of, but weren't really integral to it.
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt. I felt like it was just like almost like paint by the numbers, or just going through the movements to get this new character to learn his powers, and he'll probably launch in a new book or something.
Yeah, if they actually do like an Infinity Watch.
Yeah, so he'll be like the new member or the founding member of the new Infinity Watch, who knows.
I was a little disappointed with the previously on recap.
Okay, yeah.
They mentioned Talonar was the leader of the Fraternity of Raptors, but they don't really give any kind of backstory there, mention it's connected with Darkhawk and stuff like that.
Correct.
Or even Talonar's real name, although it's used once or twice here, and that is Robbie Ryder. They don't give the last name.
Exactly, yep.
And of course, Rich Ryder was the original Nova.
Yep.
So to just kind of gloss over all of that, it's like, well, it's not really relevant to the story, I guess, but just...
It's a pretty big, yeah, glossing over.
Why bring this character in if he kind of doesn't matter?
Exactly, yeah. I kind of agree with you there. It was kind of weird. Now, the one thing that made me laugh, I guess, in this thing was this new guy, and I keep forgetting his name, even though he's integral to the story, learning about his new powers.
It was entertaining, but...
I like how he smashes himself in the face with a flask.
Yeah, well, that one kind of didn't make a whole lot of sense. I guess he rewound time too far, and it,
I was like, what an
flew
idiot.
Back in his face.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, how do you get this thing to hit you in the face?
Yet he seems to instantly heal from it.
Yes, instantly heal. And then, he goes on to other antics.
This is something that on like a TV show kind of a thing, could actually play out fairly humorously. And it worked okay here.
Yeah, but it was kind of cheesy, corny, like the way they did it. I was like, it made me laugh because it was so kind of silly.
Well, the puzzling part is, why did it take him this long to realize he could stop time to have time to train himself?
Yeah, no kidding.
And it's all going on the premise that he can stop time while he's already stopped time.
Exactly.
That means there's a selectivity to this that is fairly impressive and fairly useful.
It amps up his power a great deal.
Yes, because he could selectively stop time for certain groups and not others, or what have you.
Exactly. So that makes his power set a little bit better than even the Infinity Gem, the Time Gem.
My time understanding stone. Is he has this power because of the Time Gem.
Yeah, it's inside of him, but like they never show the Time Stone just pausing one thing. They always show it pausing time, but... Yeah, they're all inside these characters. I know the stones are inside of them. They have now been absorbed into these bodies.
Yeah, it's...
It's very weird.
It's weird, and I'm curious how much we're going to see of this guy later.
Yeah, and the thing is, were you interested in him? Did you want to know more about him?
Mildly interested, but not, oh my god, I've got to follow him.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, okay, it's a new character, but I'm not really... dying to read a series about him. I'm just kind of like, okay, that was cool, and maybe I won't read the next story.
I think the mistake they made was his backstory.
Yeah.
Because he was on death row.
Yep.
So if they had gone with like some other guy just down on his luck, he was going to commit suicide, but it was generally a decent guy or whatever, and then he gets the power. I mean, imagine he jumps off and doesn't fall.
That would have been cool.
That would have been interesting.
Yeah, but... It seems like this whole series has been kind of so-so for me throughout it. It's been, you know, a little bit above average to just average most of the issues.
Yeah, I would say that. This character is already in need of a redemption arc just by nature of having been a death row inmate. Presumably he did some bad stuff, and I'm sure they told us, I just forgot.
Exactly. Me too.
Art was okay, story was okay, but... Some of the stuff, like the ending that I'm sure was meant to be hilarious, just fell flat for me.
Yeah, that's me too. I was like, it made it feel like this five issues was pointless to me. Did you feel that way too?
Yeah, pretty much.
And I'm like, why did I even read this? And that's not a good way. I mean, Yeah, I understand it was a humor play, but I was just like, I read it and I was just like, I feel like if I was paying cover price, I just wasted $20.
Suppose, though, you really like this character of Overtime.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea where to go next?
No, because they did not allude to him, and I've not seen him solicited anywhere, so I don't know. I don't know where to find out anything about this guy.
So, as far as an exit strategy for this book, I think they kind of didn't do great there.
Yeah. Hey, this was just a joke. Just kidding.
Yeah, if you didn't like it, haha. If you did, haha.
Exactly. So, it's like, so that was kind of like, I got to the ending, I was just like, I felt like, man, I don't know if I really should have even read these five issues, which is not a good way to end. And I'm a Wolverine fan. I'm an Infinity Watch fan, but this was just, this whole title kind of fell flat for me.
Yeah, yeah. I don't regret reading it, but I don't feel it was essential reading.
That's where I am. I'm like, it's not like I was angry and I throw it down and this is horrible. But yeah, if someone didn't read this, I wouldn't say, hey, you got to read the story. It's just like, yeah, if you didn't read it, no, don't worry about it.
Well, and I was expecting it to set up an actual Infinity Watch with a member for each of the stones and kind of get the status quo, figure out what's going on, how do they interact and stuff. They didn't. The whole point of this was to set up Overtime. It did an okay job with that. I just don't know if we're ever going to see him again, or if so, where.
Yeah. Who knows? For all we know, this guy Overtime could spin off into a new series where he gets together the Infinity Watch, which are these other people with the stones inside of them.
Suppose they do that, and they either call it Infinity Watch or Overtime in the Infinity Watch or whatever. Based on this having been Wolverine in the Infinity Watch, are you going to believe they're actually going to get an Infinity Watch together?
Probably not. But this time I would hope they did.
I would hope so too, but that's kind of the point, is I think they've I don't say did a bait and switch, because that's not entirely true. But
they kind of did.
They kind of did.
Yeah, because this was definitely not that. It was more... Wolverine, why is he here, and Loki here, and then this new guy. And I was like, okay, all right. And then I got to the ending, I was like, oh, that's disappointing.
Yeah, it was disappointing. It didn't land the ending, but it wasn't, you know, just a complete outrage or you know, flip the table sort of a thing.
No, that's where I am. I was just kind of like, next, and I won't remember this, you know, unless this guy becomes pivotal, and then we have the key issues here, so we'll be selling them for a mint. But I don't anticipate that.
I don't anticipate that either, but I'd be okay with it.
Me too. I'd be good with it.
For me, I went with a C+ on this. It had its moments. It was okay.
Yeah. I kind of was going to go with a C, and the ending made me drop it to a C- just because I was like, I was disappointed with that ending.
I can understand that. The ending was, I think, one of the weaker parts. The art was at least decent.
Yes. It wasn't bad.
So, I mean, there's that.
Exactly.
But I think they could have and should have done better overall on this.
I agree. We are definitely in agreement on that.
Shall we move over to our other book?
Yeah, that sounds good.
This is Yosagi Ojimbo number 1. This is the first issue from IDW. It's part 1 of 3. And if you look in the indicia, it's number 239 in a series.
Yeah, I know. I wish they would have said that in the solicit. Did they?
No,
I don't think they did. Nah. They just said number 1. Because I went into it thinking, oh, they're relaunching. And I was like, oh, this is not a relaunch.
Well, that goes down to terminology.
Yes.
They relaunched the title. They renumbered it, which going to a different publisher I think is totally legit.
Yeah.
They certainly were not rebooting the title.
Definitely.
I mean, this is following on in the continuity of the 25-plus years that Stan Sakai has been doing this stuff.
And we now have color.
We've got, Tom Luth joining to do the colors. He does colors in Gru the Wanderer, where Stan Sakai, I think, does the lettering.
Cool.
So, you know, good to have that. I appreciate the addition of color.
I do, too. I actually really thought it worked well. I didn't take away from the comic. I actually think it added to it.
I would agree with that entirely. The one thing that I have mixed feelings about the color addition to Usagi.
Okay.
At the end, they were mentioning they're going to be re-releasing the trades in color.
Yes, I did see that, yeah.
I've already got them in black and white.
So the conundrum, do you double dip?
Yeah, that's the problem, because I might.
Yeah, So now, does the 239, does that pick up the Fantagraphics stuff too, as well as the Dark Horse?
I'm not sure, actually.
I'm not sure.
I don't remember what issue number it left off at. I don't think it was 238, but it very well could be.
See, what I picked up all the Fantagraphics stuff in these big, like, I guess you would say omnibus, but they were soft cover because the hard covers had sold out. So I have those. I haven't read them yet. And then I was going to wait until they re-released all the stuff into color, and I was going to pick up all the Dark Horse stuff. So I'm going to pick up all those trades.
That makes sense.
I wonder if when they went from Fantagraphics to IDW, to Dark Horse, I wonder if it was like a real relaunch or if it was just, once again, transitioning from a publisher to a publisher. Just some of them.
I think they relaunched.
Relaunched. Okay, cool.
And I don't know how many issues Fantagraphics did, but I was thinking the Dark Horse one ended at 165-ish.
Okay, so this must be picking up from the beginning then. Fantagraphics stuff too.
It could also be including things like The Hidden and some other miniseries and whatnot.
Oh, that's true. Yep.
I'm not sure.
And we did review one of those issues, The Hidden, I think it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So now what did you think of this issue? Because this one was a little bit of a weird one for me.
I think it was the wrong issue to start this volume with.
Me too. I was like, okay, I'm thinking, okay, if I put a number one and it's from IDW and we're going to pretend there's new readers out there, first I pick it up, and if I didn't read that little thing saying 239, I'd be like, wow, that's a weird issue. And then the issue dealt about two-thirds of it with a puppet show.
Well, and it starts with a different character. I mean, you pick it up, you look at the cover, you've got this Ronin Rabbit, and yes. Then you've got this what is he, a fox, maybe?
I think that's what he is. I honestly... I'll go with Fox. That sounds good.
An anthropomorphic thing that's clearly not a rabbit.
Fox sounds good. It could have been a cat. Who knows?
And we go for page after page after page with this guy, and it's good stuff. But 8 pages in, we haven't seen Usagi and stuff.
Yep.
Then we flip to a couple of pages before we realize what we're reading there is a puppet show.
Yeah. And then literally they pan back and you see Usagi's just an audience member watching the puppet show.
So we don't even hit Usagi until page 12.
Yeah, which was so weird for me. And it was like, so if you are not a continuing reader, if you are like someone who's going to check this out for the first time, you're starting issue 239, which Sakai normally makes these things very accessible. This, you can jump in and read this and it's okay. But it was just so weird in that you don't get the main character till halfway through the book. And then it's all on a puppet show, which I know he does a lot of stuff with the Japanese culture and stuff in his books. They go really in depth and even writes about it at the very end. But I was just like, man, I did not know I was going to be reading about puppeteering in Japan.
If this were my first exposure to Usagi Yojimbo, I would have been wondering why the lead character doesn't show up until about halfway through the issue.
Yep.
I would have probably been a little annoyed that we spent a couple of pages on what looked like part of the story, but isn't, because it's a puppet show, but they weren't showing us the puppeteers for the first few pages.
Yeah.
So that would have felt like, I don't want to say a bait and switch, but an unreliable narrator.
Yep.
And then I would have continued with this thinking, Usagi really doesn't do much of anything other than, you know, have tea with a person or two.
Yeah, he meets with the troop and has tea with them, and then his buddy who action had an action sequence kind of tells him there's something bad going on in town, and that's the gist of it. That was kind of it.
Yeah, and I don't want to come across harsh on this, because Stan Sakai, I think, tells a good story. This is part one of three. It's mainly setup.
Yep.
But we're a third of the way into this story, and we barely have a hint. I don't even know that we have a hint as to the evil in this town.
No. I was looking at that last panel because I'm like, oh, there's the creepy thing, and I kind of think I maybe guess what it is, but it still didn't really tell you much about what it is.
I think we know an aspect of the evil, but we don't know any specifics.
We don't know what's going on. Yeah.
Well, because it hasn't happened yet.
Exactly. So I was like, I came away and I was like, okay, number one, cool. This is a good jumping on point. I'm like, no, this is probably, for this series, is probably the worst jumping on point you could have. And then two, you don't have the main character. And when you do see him, he doesn't do anything. And then three, what's going on? I walked away and I was just a little bit confused. I was like, that's just so weird. It's so atypical of this series, because I jumped in like issue 3 of that 7-issue spinoff that we did. Mm-hmm. And I was able to read it, and it felt like it had more going on in there than this.
I think this volume should have started with a solid done-in-one story or two before going into this kind of a 3-part story.
I agree. It was kind of like a swing and a miss for me, and I'm afraid if there is a new reader that they're going to be turned off, and it's not a bad series. It's just this was not the good issue to read.
This was certainly not a great issue to launch a new volume with, and I'm surprised by it because I do think Stan Sakai is a very talented writer and artist, and certainly the art's good here. It's just the pacing of the story, it almost felt a little indulgent.
Yeah.
And I like getting aspects of the Japanese culture and learning about, you know, like the puppet show and all that kind of a stuff. But there's an aspect where maybe a little too much of that was in the story. Certainly the text page to explain some of it at the end was great.
Yes.
But it just felt like they didn't fully start the story.
No. I almost felt like I read a history lesson on ancient Japanese puppeteering. And I was just like, man, I'm glad they didn't put that in the solicit because I wouldn't have bought it.
Well, the first 8 pages almost reminded me of the original MacGyver series, where they'd have kind of an opening gambit, a small little adventure, and then, okay, let's get on to the story.
Yeah.
You know, but then we start the story again with the puppet stuff. And even when we see Usagi and stuff, there's still a couple of pages more about the puppet stuff.
Yep.
And it's all fine and good and relevant to the story, clearly. But I think if it had been something where... if comics didn't need to be so compartmentalized between this story and that story, we could have spent a little time with Usagi in this town. Oh, there's a puppet show. I've always wanted to take one of those in. Don't have time. But he hangs around, bumps into one of the puppeteers, starts to learn a little about it. Oh, you've been, you know, interning for 10 years, 20 years, whatever. You know, start to build up some of that backstory, get us used to the puppeteering stuff, and then finally he gets the chance to do it. Boom, we get into this 3-part story with some of the exposition and whatnot already done for us.
Exactly. And then a little bit more, maybe the cliffhanger and explaining maybe about what's been happening in the town. You know, when the guy shows up, hey, this has been happening in the town, and then you see this little teaser.
Exactly. Reveal the evil in this issue.
Yeah, so that we want to come back and find out how it's resolved. We want more. So it was just set up really bad and not what I would have expected from a first issue.
Yeah. I agree with that. I don't know that it was written as a first issue.
No. It was almost written like whatever issue ended on, let's say, like issue number 279. And we should have read the last two to make sense out of this.
Something. It's disappointing because the series is much better than this.
Yeah. So, and I was kind of excited because I was not on the Usagi train. We reviewed the one, and I hear all the people talking about it on the Slack channels. I'm like, hey, I went and got the Fantagraphics big collection, and I was disappointed they're going to come out in color, but I was like, all right, whatever. And so I was like, okay, cool. I'll jump on here, number one, and start off. And I was just like, man, this is kind of weird, the weird way to start it. It's like, it doesn't make you want to read more. But that being said, I believe, based on what all of you guys have told me, that I'll stick with it to find out. I think the ship will be righted. This is probably just a horrible starting point.
I think it's one that if you read the 3 parts in a single sitting, it would probably play better.
I agree. I agree very much. It almost should have been a double-sized issue, maybe, and just been a 2-issue arc. The first one a big one, and the second one a smaller issue.
At which point, I would just do the whole thing in one, but I get why they don't.
Yeah.
It was, again, an unfortunate way to start a new volume where he could have been getting new people in the door because it was a new volume and because of the color. It's still hopefully going to be a good full story when we get the other 2 parts. I did like what I got, but honestly, if I hadn't already been on board the title, if you just talked me into it and you know, you'd been the big fan and I was the one sampling it, I honestly don't know that I'd come back.
Yeah, I contemplated dumping this, but I was like, I'm going to see it through, you know, like at least a couple arcs just to give it a try. But this made me feel like that. It made me feel like, I don't need to read any more of this.
The irony is this is one of those titles that if I had some purchasing decisions to do differently in my life,
yeah,
I would have gotten on board this when I first knew about it.
Wow. That's really cool. So, and then it's so weird to read this one then.
Well, and I first heard about it from a friend when I was in high school. So that would have been 85, 86.
Wow. Long time ago.
Early in its run.
When did you first pick up on it? Do you remember?
A couple of years back, since I've been doing the podcast.
Oh, okay. All right.
It was like issue 116 or something of the Dark Horse run.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't until well into it.
Crazy late. I've got the trades. I have not had the time to go read them.
Wow. Wow. That's too bad.
But I was enjoying it enough that I got the slipcase hardcover set of the Fantagraphics run and all however many of the trades up until it was collecting issue 116 or whatever.
All right. Well, I got the Fantagraphics run, and then I'm going to buy all the trades as they come out in color and enjoy the color version of what you've been enjoying. And so read that stuff, and I feel like I almost need to jump back and just read the Fantagraphics now, just at least read a little bit of it. Mm-hmm. And get a feel for it, because this wasn't a good way to start off.
That makes sense. And I'm curious, when they come out with the trades, what price point they're going to be at.
Me too.
If they're at a good price point, I may double dip and get the color ones.
Exactly. And this would tickle my fancy. Come out with an omnibus.
I have a weight limit on my reading material.
Yeah, I don't know why. I have a real addiction with those things.
I've seen the photos you've posted of your stuff. It's crazy how much you get.
Yeah, it's insane, because I didn't post the last picture because I was like, it's too much. But I got another shipment of hardcovers, and it was just as much.
Well, I mean, again, with something like Usagi, where there's that much material to get, I mean, you've got the option. So, yeah.
Definitely.
I'm going to go with a C+ on this. I really want to give it a better grade, but I can't.
I know. I understand.
And this is a wildly uncharacteristically not good issue and not good jumping on point.
I agree wholeheartedly. Not a good jumping on point. And maybe a new reader could sit out the first arc and jump on at issue number 3 if that's a new story. But with me, I went with a C. I almost went with a C- on it, but I was like, I really like the color art, so I bumped it up a little bit for the C. But the story was a little bit below par.
Yeah, I the color did help, and you've got to read more of it because, generally speaking, it's a really good series.
Yeah, so that's what made it so disappointing, because I was like so looking forward to it. I was like, I saw that on the list when we were picking them. I was like, hey, Usagi Yojimbo, and I knew we both want to review that. So,
well, we'll keep an eye on what's going on. Maybe either with issue 4 when they get to a new arc, or something else. If you see one that looks good, we can come back and take another look.
Definitely. We'll read the solicits and see if something sounds good.
Cool.
So, with all that being said, we both had a little chat on the Slack channel with our retailer, or I should say our e-tailer, Eric. He just literally just sent us pictures of the stuff that happened with his diamond shipments.
I didn't see the actual photo. I was in a little bit of a rush, but he was checking to see which ones we were going to review next week so he could make sure we'd have the right things to review. And, you know, as sometimes happens with shipping and stuff, there were a few things that got damaged getting to him.
Oh, yeah.
So
he was shorted on stuff, and then he was sending pictures of like all his friendly Spider-Mans have bent corners. I can't tell what the other issue is. It looks like it, I don't know, maybe Doctor Strange. And then his goon stuff all got bent up. So it's kind of sad, but stuff happens.
It does, but it's... I get the problem they have over at Diamond of, for most of the people working there, this is just random product. It means nothing to them. They clearly don't understand the collectability aspect, nor would I expect every single copy to make it to every single store in absolute mint condition. But there comes a point at which it's you got to do better.
Oh, yeah. Some of it has been absolutely horrendous. Sometimes I'll see pictures. They actually have a Facebook forum with comic retailers just showing, you know, like the shipments and how stuff comes into them. And I'm just baffled.
To me, it's a quality control issue, and it's not a new thing. It's gone on for years, and it's not like it's every shipment is messed up or something, but just enough of it that if they were more passionate about it and able to hire people more passionate about it, they'd do better. But again, it's not exactly like it's an uber high paying job to go, you know, pack comics and stuff.
Exactly. So I'm hoping they get their act together, but I'm not counting on it.
It's a shame they've got a lock on the market and it's pretty much not viable for another distributor to get in the game, since they've got Diamond's got exclusives with most of the publishers.
Yeah. And Diamond, where do they ship most of their stuff out of? Remember, I think it was DCBS moved their facility from, I think it was Indiana down to, was it in Tennessee? Or I can't remember where
it is. Memphis area, I thought.
Memphis. Okay. Apparently, people down there just don't like packing things, because even when DCBS went down there, everyone they hired, apparently shipping just went out the door. The packaging and stuff, because I used to be a customer of theirs back then.
Same here.
I remember things would come shipped. It was pretty rough, and then it would be really delayed. I was like, what is going on? I don't know. Maybe that's just a bad place to be.
DCBS went for well over a decade with me with just about flawless service. And then when they moved, there was an unfortunate change, because they had to staff up new people and stuff like that. To DCBS's credit, they then, when they realized it just didn't work, and I believe they moved back.
They did. They went back, which I was like, hats off to them, because a lot of companies wouldn't do that. They'd try to muscle through it, you know, we're going to make it happen. And that's tough to do, up and move your business twice.
Well, they're good people, Cameron and Christine, running DCBS. You know, I wish them well. I hope they have success and whatnot. I think their thought of let's move closer to the distributor, I mean, it sounds good on paper.
Yeah.
And Diamond's got a few locations. They've got one in Maryland. They've got the one in Tennessee. And I think they've got another one that off the top of my head, I don't remember where is.
Okay.
But this is one of those situations where Diamond, again, having a lock on comics distribution, there's no competition. They're going to do what they're going to do, and they'll improve or they won't based on if they do better or not.
Exactly.
There's no market pressure that can be really applied to a large degree.
Yeah. And actually, you know what? If I was a comic shop owner, like Eric or whoever, I'd kind of be happy that they're not that great at shipping, because, you know, they could totally, if they wanted to, decide to bypass the comic book market and ship direct to customers, but it seems like they can't handle it.
Yeah. It would be interesting if they tried that, but it's...
I think they would lose.
Yeah, I don't think that would work.
Yeah, I think it would be a horrible, horrible thing, and it would just be nonstop complaints.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyways, on a positive note, you've been reading your comics. I'm actually caught up, and it's only... I caught up with my reading yesterday. Believe it or not. So I read through all my books. I just kind of plowed through them.
Cool.
So I can get caught up on my Savage Sword of Conan omnibus, which I'm a little bit behind with my reading group. But anything that stuck out to you this week?
I enjoyed Go-Go Power Rangers Forever Rangers. It was a one-shot, although really it was part of the Go-Go Power Rangers run, finishing off a story there.
Cool.
They've been doing good stuff there. Skyward was good.
Yep, I like that.
There were a few things, and I mentioned one or two of them on Slack today, that definitely caught my eye. Specifically the lettering in, like, Drawing Blood Spilled Ink number 2.
Yep.
My God, it was tiny.
Yeah, it was. It was not just you. I was like, what is going on with this?
It's getting to where I need to install a huge magnifying glass. I mean, I know I'm not getting any younger, my eyes aren't getting any better, but there's a font size you do not go below, and they did.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember, who was it who was talking about the Batman Who Laughs on the Slack channel? Do you remember?
There were a couple of people. Yeah. I was certainly one of them, but not the one who started it. But yeah, it's one of those things. You put red text on a blue background, or there's certain color combinations, they just don't work.
No. I mean, they were, you know, trying to be artsy with one of the issues, and they're making like every like 10 letters or so, you know, a red letter. And I was just like, it made me not want to read the issue. I'm like, now they're physically making me upset when I'm reading this, which is not a good thing.
The question on the Slack channel was, have you ever dropped a book because of the lettering?
Yeah, that was awesome.
And I have not. I will admit there's some that I have skimmed but not truly read because I couldn't.
Yeah, I Batman Who Laughs, sometimes I skip the dialogue boxes and I know I'm not getting the full story because I'm just like, I'm not reading this nonsense. It's starting to upset me. When I say upset me, I'm getting ticked off. So I'm like, all right, I've considered dropping that title. I really have. But it's almost over.
Thought we got the 6th issue, which means it is over, and it's slipping over to Batman Superman.
Oh, okay. So he's going to show up again. Great.
Hopefully the letterer won't.
I hope not, because that was just really frustrating. I was like, oh, man. Ugh. And I told you, and I was telling the people on the Slack channel, are you still reading Aquaman, or did you just totally drop that?
I gave it one issue when it switched creative teams, didn't love it, and haven't gone back to it since.
Okay, for whatever sick reason, I stuck with it because I really liked Aquaman, and I was just like, this is just not working. Finally, he got his memory back. And so I was reading it, and it seemed a little more coherent, and it's getting back to where Abnett was writing and what he was doing with it, just a tiny bit. I don't trust it yet, but if it doesn't go back that direction, I may actually drop it, but it seemed more coherent, so I was kind of happy. Like, it's going to go back to, he remembers who Mara is, he remembers who he is, and I was like, finally, please, let's get the story going again.
I could see where that would help if the character knows who the character is.
Yeah, unlike Nightwing right now.
I'm still going with that. The fact they haven't renamed that title implies to me it'll go back to how it should be at some point. But yeah, a lot of the stuff, when I dropped it, I really haven't looked back. I am picking up, I think, one of the issues of Red Hood that ties into the Year of the Villain stuff, because I'm curious.
Okay.
That might be enough to get me back on board. Don't know. And then I am sampling an issue of Green Lantern, because it was talking about the multiverse and stuff, and I'm like, I'll give it an issue, but I really doubt that'll get me back in.
Yeah, I understand. That. Just so you know, I told you I was going to stick with Nightwing as your favorite character.
Mm-hmm.
I read the latest team book, and I was just like, I'm kind of bored with it. So as soon as I see the non-team stuff solicited, I'll get back in.
Okay, fair enough. I'll try to keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, for whatever reason, I really don't like those new characters. I don't know what it is. I like Nightwing himself. Even with his memory loss, I'm like, I can work with that. But with the team, I'm like, oh, I'm not liking the team.
None of them strike me as characters that we're going to hear from again after this arc ends.
That's what I feel. I feel like I'm just wasting time reading it.
Yeah, which is unfortunate, but understandable.
Yeah, so that's where I am. But yeah, I'm with you. Skyward was really good. And yeah, there was a few things that were pretty decent. And then a few things I was like, don't enjoy that.
Yeah, got some of the final issues of some of the Age of X-Man and whatnot, and it's okay.
That's where I am with that. It's just kind of okay.
It, frankly, could have and should have been better. It's not lighting up the sales charts, and it feels very much like filler stuff just to get some characters kind of sort of doing something while they were doing the other stuff with Uncanny, and hey, let's go in another direction because it's been a few months.
Yeah. Well, I am looking forward to the Hickman stuff. I want to see what happens with that, so I'm hoping we can review those.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it's worth checking in on the end of the Uncanny X-Men run, and then where they go from there with Hickman, both with Powers of X, House of X, and maybe some of the books after that when they spin off into whatever titles they spin off into.
Exactly, because it seems like the whole X franchise has been kind of in a malaise, so let's see if they can right the ship.
I'm really hoping they come out of it with an X-Men purple, X-Men green.
You want all the colors of the spectrum.
X-Men orange. I'm thinking specifically the classically marvelous villain colors.
Yeah.
Could happen.
I hope not.
Well, yeah, I hope not too. But I just hope whatever they do lasts more than, say, a year and a half before they then revector yet again.
Exactly. Me too.
Because if they keep doing that kind of a thing, I'm going to get less and less likely to get on board with the various revectorings.
I agree. Yeah. And so I'm hoping it'll be good. Keeping my fingers crossed. And Hickman can be a dense writer, but he can also be a very good writer if you see it through.
Agreed. Yeah. He's solid. Some of his stuff works better for me than others, but certainly he's worth giving a shot to.
Exactly, because I go back and I look at his Avengers run, and it was pretty good.
Yeah, I liked his Avengers stuff. I liked his Fantastic Four stuff.
Yeah,
it's his creator-owned stuff that tends not to work as well for me, but he knows how to write.
Oh, yeah, his creator-owned stuff, he gets really dark.
Well, and also just a little indulgent, it feels like.
Yeah, indulgent, and then, I agree. The Black Monday Murders, I was like, that's pretty dark.
Yeah, I didn't read that one. I read some the start of some of the other stuff, though.
All right, cool.
Let's see, coming up, heading to Comic-Con. If you're going to be there and want to meet up, let me know, preferably ahead of time, because once I get there, I don't check email and stuff all that frequently, just because it's really busy. Looking forward to the convention, though. Should be fun. Before the convention, we've got Preview Spotlight 141. The deadline for that covering the July order form is the morning of July 6th. That is a Saturday morning. Maybe you'll have some time off on the 4th of July so you can record a clip or two. Getting them in early, that would be nice. But again, you need till the 6th, take till the 6th. Hopefully we'll have a bunch of good clips and stuff there. Should be interesting. Not doing a teleconference in July, so the next one's probably going to be August 10th, 7 p.m. Central Time at that point. We'll figure that out once I get back from Comic-Con. Last time or two, attendance has been a little light. Part of that's the summer, part of that's, you know, whatever. And it's getting to one of those things, if there's not a huge demand for it, maybe we just don't do it as often or at all. So if you want it, weigh in.
Cool.
Anything else? Does that pretty much do it?
That pretty much does it.
Cool. Join us next time as we discuss Wonder Woman 73 from DC, Fantastic Four number 11 from Marvel, and Mighty Morphin Power Rangers number 40 from Boom Studios.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.